It's really great to be here again, and we're going to be here till the end of the month. And when we leave on the 27th or 26th of June, hopefully you don't sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" are going back to South Africa. But certainly, it's you know, when we make Jesus Christ the source of everything, then nothing we do becomes an issue or difficult. If he's the source of our finances, then tithing and giving to the house is nothing. If he's the source of love, then we can love one another deeply. If he's the source of leadership, we can look to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on how leadership works in unity. And even with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together with the angels of heaven, there's team. And it's always about team. And Jesus came to earth. He left the comfort of heaven to come to earth to show us how to work with team. And he started with 12, and then he went on to 72, and then he went to the whole church. And the A team of God is always the church. It's always God's people. And part of our journey, mine and Maureen's, has been that we love people. And that every structure, every leadership, everything we try and do is to love people. And every decision we make, we ask the question, is it good for the people? How are the people pulled in? How are they being built up so that they can be more effective for the king in his kingdom? And so that sent us really beyond our church, because we saw something of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Where the scripture says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and that upon you is dunamis. It's the power of God to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we caught something of that many, many years ago. And our sphere of influence, because the Bible says when we're faithful where we are, God takes us to the regions beyond. But it's a journey, it's a circular one that as we faithfully takes us on. It's not just because of anointing. It's not just because he's called us to be an apostle or a prophet. It's when we're faithful with his people, he takes us on. And so God's opened the door for us to work in many, many nations in Africa. Zimbabwe, Zambia, where we have teams within teams. We have apostolic teams that do the work in those nations. And at the moment in those nations, friends, people are dying because they haven't got food to eat. Not because of poverty, it's because of drought. And it's not that we haven't taught them how to plant the seed and give them the seed to plant so that they can grow their own crops. It's there's no water to water the seed. So we've had to get into various ways to go and feed those people. Not only with the word of God, but also with food so that they don't pass and they don't die from hunger. Then you look further into Malawi and you look into Kenya, and where we've got sphere of influences, and then Namibia, we've got incredible team forming there because we've been working there for 4 or 5 years. But because we're in South Africa, and we also come to Canada, but Australia and the UK, Europe has spheres of influence that we work into. That Namibia, there's a team forming that can actually work amongst God's people, whether rural or whether city. So we're just incredible privileged in God. But it's taken 20, 26, 27 years of faithfulness where we are, because you reap what you sow. And when we sow faithfulness, when we look after God's people, God gives us many to look after. So when we look after God's money, God will give us more to look after. When we know he's the source of everything, and every vision is his vision, not ours. And when we caught that, we didn't have to fight for our vision, because it's his. And what do we guard in this? We guard the message of the gospel. That is all we guard as Christians. And what is that message? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gospel, start of the gospel message. And when we love that, when we love the people for which God put Jesus on the cross, then we're already a long way ahead in our leadership and in our call, because we make it not about our vision, it's about His vision that we are to God and we are to look after. And so, you know, in this church, no agenda but Jesus. Is it? Is it? Or have you made it about other things? We had a young man come up this morning, Chase, to say, leave the old. You know what's going to send you to the future? Is no agenda but Jesus. No agenda but Jesus. So I don't want to talk a lot of what we do, because we're privileged. We're blessed. Africa is ours. We see many saved. We see creative miracles. In Malawi recently, a man was brought to us. This is more than once we've just seen these creative miracles. He was given 2 weeks to live, and he had a tumor right across his chest. And they brought him and laid him down, and we prayed and we prayed, and nothing happened. But he felt blessed. I want to tell you, even if nothing happens when you pray for people, they're blessed because you love them and care. Never don't pray. Always pray for people. And we worshipped and we prayed, and he's still lying there. He's going to die in 2 weeks. Doctors given him no hope, and looking at him, he probably could die while we're preaching. And during my preach, suddenly the man gets up and he picks up the tumor from the ground, and he's still alive a year later. The tumor came off. He picked it up from the ground as God healed him. So we see some of these creative miracles, and I would love to take the pleasure of it, but many of us prayed and God chose to heal him that day. When we pray for people and He is the source of healing, we will never take glory for ourselves. And I want to encourage us that all glory, if your business does well, friend, if He is the source of your business, you will not hold on to money and hoard it. You will release it for the kingdom. You see, everything in our life has to be about Jesus. So I want to take just 30 minutes if you're right with that. Because I believe in 30 minutes we can talk. But in 45, 50 minutes, half of you have fallen asleep. So I'm asking for 30 minutes. But I want to bring us back to Jesus. I want to bring us back that His death is our freedom. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free, no longer to be in the yoke of bondage. It is God's heart that we are children that are free. Where the Spirit of God, or where the Spirit is God, there is liberty and freedom. Because we always quote it, you know, where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. No, where the Spirit is God, there is liberty and freedom. The Holy Spirit is not Casper the ghost. He is God. He is God. And when He is God in our midst, and we honor Him as God, freedom comes. But I want to talk to you today, where it all started for me and for us is the day that Jesus died on the cross. And you've heard many sermons on this, and it's probably an old thing, but I want to talk about the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. And remember, seven is the number of completion. And what Jesus did on the cross is a complete work. There is nothing more to be done by Him for us to walk in freedom. It's all done. But our faith in God will determine, and how we see God will determine whether we're free or not. We are saved by grace through faith. Grace being what God did, and faith being with us looking what God did and appropriating it in our lives so that we can walk free and keep each other free. The goal of leadership in a church is to keep God's people free so that they can live in liberty and walk in their call. And I want to talk about that this morning. And with these statements, with these freedoms, I honestly pray that our lives will be transformed into the image of Christ. And then wherever we go, we become grace dispensers and glory junkies. Is there a word? Is that a bad word? Like crap is a bad word in my country. But I've always wanted to say crap from the pulpit. And I've just done it and it sounds quite cool. Let's be done with crap and be done with glory and goodness. Not done, man, but embrace glory and goodness. Hey, love, I've said it. I didn't ever think I'd say it. Last time I battled to say it, but today I'm not going to say it again. Let me move on. Oh, no, I don't want translation on crap. Thanks. I sort of know it's a poo thing. But anyhow, the first one is that on the cross, the first thing that we need to embrace is forgiveness. The first freedom we get from what Jesus did on the cross is forgiveness. And I want to tell you the greatest, greatest tool of evangelism in the church is this. By this will all men know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. I believe if the church works in that and walks in that, you will draw the community into this church without having to go hunt for them. Because the world is looking for genuine, biblical, godly, loving unity. Because I think most countries, their leaderships are not good. I look at my own country. They're not good. But it's not my duty to judge them. It's my duty to pray for my leaders of my country. Say, God, I can see biblically they're not walking in the way of forgiveness, even as leaders of the country. I pray that you will give them a good life. And that they will see Jesus and not judge him. So, in the midst of his torment on the cross, Jesus poured forth an unbelievable amount of forgiveness when he prayed in Luke chapter 23, verse 24, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do or what they're doing. I believe with this statement, Jesus forgave and he still forgives us of all of our sins. Because most times we don't know what we're doing. And we get caught up with a situation and we don't get caught up with the finished work that you are forgiven and that the person you're having an issue with is also forgiven. And that together we can walk with forgiveness in God. Jesus pours his forgiveness in your life, enabling you to forgive yourself and everybody that's wronged you. You still love me? God wants to pour the freedom of being forgiven into your life so that from being forgiven, you can forgive others as well. One of the names of God is El Shaddai, the Almighty One, the Powerful One, the Godly One. El Shaddai, God Almighty. And El Shaddai literally means the Many-Breasted One. The Many-Breasted One. And what it means for me and you, it signifies nourishment. It signifies productiveness. Christian friends, you have not just been saved to be forgiven, but to live a life of forgiveness and live a life as one who receives much from God, the Many-Breasted One. He supplies everything for you to be successful in this life, for life and for godliness. He supplies. He provides forgiveness. He provides comfort, healing, provision, love. God is revealed as the one that has more than enough. And we always got to see God as the one that's more than enough. in every area of our life, he's the one that's more enough. Because El Shaddai, the many-breasted one, has got so much that we can get from him. But it starts with living in forgiveness. And that on the cross, Jesus forgave, and he expects us to live with forgiveness. We get tormented, according to Matthew 18, by the will of God if we do not forgive others. And we got to learn to forgive so we don't live in torment, but we live in freedom. Receive his complete and absolute forgiveness and be that son of and daughter that receives nourishment from the Father's heart and hand. The second uttering of Jesus on the cross gives us salvation. So not only are we forgiven, but we also receive salvation. And Hebrews says how often we can forget the day of our salvation. If you want to write it down and always go back to when you were saved, that's cool. But I want to know that I'm living a salvation life today. Tyron said something at the recent conference, you know, when he married, and when I married Maureen 35 years ago, and tomorrow we're 35 years married. It's our wedding anniversary tomorrow. 35 years. But if I keep on going and looking at the photo of our wedding and say, you look so beautiful on your wedding day, how's she going to feel about looking beautiful today? So salvation has to move us on from the cross. But we keep on looking back to say, thank you for that day. Thank you for the day I married Maureen. Thank you that at that day for Maureen, her name changed. Her identity changed because she's married to me now. And the day we received Jesus, we got a new name. And it's the name of Jesus by which we live. How we got to get back to the joy of our salvation. It was a good day, but it should be a good day today. I love Maureen more than I love her ever before. Along the journey, we had some bad days. But mainly because she is the one that caused the problems. Baby. Oh, you'll tell the truth on Tuesday. Come hear the truth on Tuesday. You know, aside from forgiveness, one of the greatest freedoms in salvation is the freedom from sins and our sin. Sins and our sins. Our iniquities, our sin, and our transgression taken by Jesus on the cross. Ongoingly taken by Jesus on the cross. Oh man, let us enjoy. And you know, Jesus saved a thief next to him just moments before his own death. And he was able and willing to save that man to turn around from hell to live in heaven in paradise forever. And Jesus in Luke 23 verse 42 and 43 says, the thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Think of the picture on the cross. Two convicted criminals, equally near to Jesus. Both were wicked, suffering, dying, and in desperate need of being set free, not only to live, but from their sins. Both of them there. Both were a few feet from our Savior. Yet one died unrepented, and the other one went to heaven to be with Jesus. John 1 verse 14 says, for the law was given through Moses, but truth and grace came through Jesus Christ. You see, when we are saved and we believe in salvation, we live by grace and truth. We don't live by law. We can't put a little bit of Moses with Jesus and expect to live in freedom, because he came by grace and truth. We can't mix a bit of law, because if we mix a little bit of Moses with grace, we kill the value of Jesus in our lives, because God wants us to live in freedom of the finished work of the cross. On the cross, Jesus took the full weight of our sin upon himself so that we can be free of Satan and his influences and sin. In the same way that one thief put his faith in Jesus, friends, you can put your faith in Jesus today and live in freedom. When they had the Last Supper, and the question came, and Jesus says, "One of you going to betray me?" And all the disciples says, "Not I, Lord." But Judas says, "Not I, teacher." You see, we got to know who saved us, the Savior. He's not only one that teaches us in our life. He's the one that is Lord of our whole life. And when we see him as Lord, we can't betray him. But when we see him as anything else but the Savior and the vision given and the source and everything in our lives, we can't betray Jesus. So we've got to see him as Lord and Savior of our lives. Hide nothing from him, because we can't hide from him. He knows what you're thinking now. He knows your very thought. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knows you. Put your trust in Lord. Freedom number three, affection. Affection. After Jesus demonstrated his compassion for the thief next to him, and the thief that put his trust in the Lord and immediately forgave all his sins, and he was in paradise, he turns his affection to his mother. I want to tell you, Jesus loves family. And when we start making church and we start doing anything in a structure that's not family, God frowns upon it. He was the one in Genesis chapter 2 that officiated in the first wedding. And he said, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. From that day, God handled everything as father. His father today. His Abba Father. And by the Spirit of God, we say Abba Father. He loves family. And he wants his church to be family. John 19, verse 26. This is a scene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother. Remember, he's on the cross. And the disciple whom he loved standing by. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." I marvel that while Jesus was engaged in the most horrific, hectic time on the cross, where they nailed him, put thorns on his head, he bled 7 times before he actually got on the cross. And that's another sermon. Of why did he bleed and what does it mean for us? But yeah, he's on the cross for all mankind for eternity to be loved by Father. He turns around in the pain of all of that and he looks at his mother and he says, "My father is still in love with family." He showed us that family is important. He does not overlook his son's responsibilities to his mom, even though he's dying for our sins. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Both his humanity and deity displayed on the cross for the world to see that he loves family. Do you love your wife, man? Wife, do you respect your man? Because in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, God says, "Be imitators of me, you who are dearly loved, and you who are suffered for as a ransom for many." Then he goes on and explains which areas we got to imitate God. And he starts the very first one and he says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." Ephesians 5, somewhere, 22. And then in verse 32 of Ephesians 5, he says, "Woman, respect your husbands." Where does God want us to imitate him first? in our marriages. Then he goes on and he says our parents ought to be to children and children ought to be parents. So where do we honor God? In our family. And then he goes on and he says we imitate him in the place of our work. And he explains how we are to be as employees and employers. You see, God's interested in family. And the places where we got to imitate him is in those places and everywhere else. Number four, acceptance. Acceptance. Our freedom from rejection was established by Jesus on the cross, where he cried out in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, on that moment, Jesus took all the pain of and our rejections. He took the pain so that a divine exchange can take place and we can be accepted in the household of God. That we're no longer orphans, we're not rejected, but we're his beautiful children, accepted in his kingdom. We believe what Jesus did, we belong, and then we behave. You see, the law says we believe, we behave, and then we belong. It's ungodly to live that way. We believe and we become sons and daughters in his household, and we spend the rest of our lives trying to behave, but out of grace. And we got to live free there. And those who are strong amongst you, help those who are weak. Don't judge him. You see, that's family. That somebody battling in a family, everybody else gets together to help them so they can be strong. You see, acceptance is a big thing that happened on the cross. We are no longer orphans. We're sons and daughters of God. And that's why I can call him daddy. I can say, hey, daddy, this wife of mine. And then daddy says, Kenny, not the wife problem, you. But I can have a conversation and I can enjoy my father while honoring him as God, holy, sovereign. But there's moments I can tell him anything, good, bad, and ugly. And when I mess up, and we all do, excepting possibly Mo, but all of us, the rest, we can mess up. We don't run from God, we run to him. Acceptance. We're accepted by God. No one but Jesus can erase the pain of rejection and satisfy the need of acceptance, especially when we've blown it. When you're in right relationship with God, rejection has lost its sting. Jesus took all our rejection upon himself when he died upon the cross. And he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? For the sake of others, I'm going to live. He's taken our rejection. Too often, when rejected or when hurt, we make others the scapegoat. When somebody hurts you, run to Jesus and duck so that Jesus can sort them out. But most times when you do that, he kicks you in the beyond. What do you call this place? In, is that Beyond Works in Canada? But? Oh, he kicks you in the butt while you're ducking because it's not actually the other person's fault. It's yours. God is so special. Yet in all of his aloneness, Jesus always began to praise God. And he would often, through Scripture in the New Testament, quote a couple of psalms. He'd quote Psalm 31, which is a cry for the Lord's mercy during times of trouble. When you get through times of trouble, go to Psalm 31. That's the one Jesus quoted in his awkward and alone moments. How many of you go through alone moments? Not really? Just you guys are really good. When you experience loneliness and pain, you can look to Jesus because he experienced that same kind of suffering. Because on the cross, wow, even to his father, why have you forsaken me? He felt lonely. And he quoted Psalm 31. He quoted Psalm 69, which is comfort for the brokenhearted. When you're brokenhearted, go read that psalm. And then he also many times quoted Psalm 22, which is a prayer of despair, seeing Jesus that leads to praise. In loneliness, in rejection, and when you feel people are pushing you away, go to Jesus. Don't run away from people. Run to Jesus. Because as you duck, he might sort them out, but he'll also help you. And he'll lift you up to once again be able to look friends and enemies in the eye. Because the Bible says, love your enemies. Okay, I'll move on. It's a little hectic, isn't it? We must believe that Jesus accepts us and we can give him all our burdens. Joy is in our inheritance in God. Because Psalm 16 verse 11, in your presence is fullness of joy. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So from acceptance, from rejection, where we feel rejected, we come to God. He does a divine exchange, and the result for us is joy. Because where the kingdom of God is, there's peace, joy, and righteousness in Christ Jesus. The verse goes on, and it says, because of you walking in righteousness, joy, and peace, that God himself is happy, and men approve of you. Men love peaceful men. And I believe if any of us battle with anger, get it fixed, because joy is what God looks for. Not anger, but joy. Amen. Number five, righteousness. Another fruit of the cross and what Jesus did. So on the cross, Jesus says, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, I thirst. In John chapter 19, verse 28. So on the cross, he thirsts. Let me tell you about poverty. That Jesus became poverty because he was in need of food. He was in need of water. He had no clothes. Every sign of poverty Jesus had on the cross. And he says in John 10 that Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. He became poverty so we can live in abundance. Abundance of love, abundance of finance, abundance of everything on earth. If he is your source and you lack finances, go to him. And let him release the wealth of the world stored up for the righteous. And let him become God in the lack of finances. Because he became poverty for us. And he gave us his righteousness. You may ask, what does Jesus being thirsty have to do with freedom? You see, he became poor and he bore our thirst and he took everything of ours so that we can walk in abundance. I believe one of the big things of thirst is the issue of lust. It is a common thing even in Africa that he took our lust. And he took all of those things, that emotional, physical, mental lust that we have. The pursuit of things that he hasn't called us to, his lust. I'm not talking pornography only, because that's the first thing we think of. But that, as well as the things we give our mind to, it becomes lust. And if that's not fed, then we look for something to feed it. But Jesus comes and he says, I've taken that away and I give you life, and I give you life more abundantly. And when your thoughts are on me, it'll be pure thoughts, Philippians 4. You'll only think about that which is good in others. When you look at people, you see the good in them, not the bad. He gives us another way to live because he takes care of our lusts and he gives us purity to think well of others. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of him and God. Kenny, you don't know what I did last night. Well, God does, and he forgives you, and he doesn't love you less. And that's not license to go do it next Saturday. See, we've got to live free, because we live in the righteousness of Christ. Not ours, but his. And I want to tell you, a religious spirit wants everybody, and we want to everybody to know we are righteous. No, I'm not righteous within myself, but with Christ I am righteous. And what he did on the cross, I am righteous, and I don't need to show anybody. They will smell it, they will taste it, they will see it. And righteousness leads to humility. But a religious righteousness leads to pride. And we start fighting for ourselves. Live free. Because the message today is, on the cross, Jesus made us free. Live free. Check that man smiling. I love your smile, Caleb. Just show everybody. Stand up and smile. It's such a good smile. That man smiles the freedom and the righteousness of Jesus. I just love that man. Romans 5:17 says, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of righteousness reign in this life through Christ Jesus? Jesus takes our lusts, he takes all of our stuff so that we can live righteously in this life and rule and reign. Over everything in this life, we rule and reign, friend, through Jesus Christ. That bad attitude you got, rule and reign over it, fix it. That lack of love for somebody, fix it. Because we rule and reign over everything, and we present Christ. And we are ambassadors of his kingdom on this earth to the whole earth. And we have the ministry of reconciliation. So if you've got a bad attitude, somebody now, fix it. So that Christ can be seen through it. Amen. And we move on. The divine exchange happens. What's in your hand right now? A Bible. But Jesus had 5 loaves of bread, and he had 2 fish. And he presented it to the Father. Whatever you got in your hand this morning, present it to the Father, and he will multiply it. That's the life of a righteous person. If you just got a little bit of love, present it to Jesus, and he'll multiply it. Because that's the heart of the Father. Number 6, victory. The finished work of the cross gave us victory. Jesus' 6 utterances, he purchased for us our absolute victory when he gave the shout, it is finished. Can I shout in the church? It is finished. What is finished? Your sin is finished. Everything's finished. That's of the devil and of this world. And we live for Christ. It is a finished work. He was announcing that the battle was over and we have eternal security and victory for ourselves in Christ Jesus. He shouted, the battle's done. There doesn't have to be another battle ever for the salvation of man's souls. It is finished. Are we walking it? We got to walk it. He conquered death, sickness. He conquered nature and the effects of nature in every situation. And when we identify ourselves with the resurrected Christ, we have to have victory in every area of our lives. We have to. Not in our own strength, but because we look at what he did and we have victory. God used events surrounding Jesus' death to confirm that Jesus had finished everything for our victory. And the 3 things that are just 4 things I want to share there is the veil was torn, and it gives every believer the right to go sit with Daddy. We can go to Daddy because that is our victory. You don't have to go through Mark. Some of you say, thank God for that. But you don't have to go through Mark or Tim to go to Daddy. You go yourself to Daddy. And from that place, you come into a church and you serve in His kingdom so that the kingdom advances. You serve His vision through the rock. Because that's how God's still into family. But we have the right to go to Daddy. I think Maureen goes to Daddy often because of me. But anyhow, she goes to Daddy. She goes to Daddy. Secondly, Christ's resurrection provided proof that God accepted all Jesus had done for our freedom and for our salvation. Where He said, it is finished. God said, thank you, my son. From that time onwards, everybody has victory for eternity. It is finished. It was done. Thirdly, Jesus taking up His position at the right hand of Father demonstrated Father's pleasure in His Son and the work Jesus completed. It's complete. Father still rewards those who diligently seek Him because of what Jesus did. He says, if we seek Him, if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added to you. You see, many of our problems, we try to solve it by solving the other things, not seeking the Father. And everything in life, first seek the Father. And everything else will be added to you. Not only material things, relational things, marriage things, children things. Everything. God. And then fourthly, Father sending the Holy Spirit made provision on an ongoing basis for the church to walk in freedom. And the Holy Spirit always points us to what Jesus has done. And He brings to us the security of our salvation. Ephesians 1, 3 and 13 and 14. He brings the security that we are sons and daughters of God. And we have the Holy Spirit in us, with us, and among us. Omnipotent, omnipresent, everywhere, knowing everything. God is with us. Wow. I hope this message just brings some freedom. Then the last one. And as I said in my church, honestly, when I say it's my last point, some people stand up and sing again, what a friend we have in Jesus. He's got his last point. But hopefully he's not going to circle around, but he's going to land quickly. So, last point, freedom 7. Contentment. Contentment. The final words of Jesus on the cross was for our contentment, our faith, and our confidence and love. When Jesus yielded His life to Father in payment for our sins, He says, Father, in the scripture, Luke 23, 46, says, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. Into Your hands. When we go to God and commit things to God into His hands, contentment will be ours. Because we see God as bigger than our problem. You're going to face Goliaths. But be like David and said, man, God protected me against the bear. He protected me against everything. I can stand in front of you, Goliath, because I know who's with me, who's in me, and who's behind me. You are nothing. Why? Because of the finished work of the cross. In saying this, Jesus released to us to enjoy the greatest of freedoms, and the greatest of freedoms we get to be in the arms of our Father. Into You I commit my spirit. Father, into You I commit everything. Into You I commit my boys, my personal boys. Into You I commit Africa and the people that are starving and dying. I'll do my best to do a little to help them, but into You I commit, because You can let it rain, Father. you can change things I can't change. You can change cultures to be more kingdom. Into your hands I commit. Isn't that bring contentment that we can trust Father? Trust God? How blessed we are that Jesus Father is our Father as well. God is our daddy. When we put our entire life and being confidently into God's hands, surrendering everything to God, we can be content. When Jesus presented himself to God, he also presented us. In John 17, verse 21, Jesus prayed that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, I am in you, that they also may be one in us. Wow, wow. It means a lot that we one with Father. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. First one is a fulfillment of Isaiah 53, verse 12. And he bore the sins of many and made intercession for our transgressions. Jesus' statement to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise, was a fulfillment of Matthew 1:21. You shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. His words to his mother, woman, behold your son, is fulfilled in the destiny of Jesus as he loved people and showed us what Father is like. At the point Jesus asked, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was a fulfillment of Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me so that we can be accepted? In his comment, I thirst, it is a fulfillment of Psalm 69, verse 21. And for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink, because he took our poverty so we can live in abundance. In his declaration, it is finished. It's a fulfillment of Psalm 22, 31. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for what he has done is finished. And then finally, the Jesus' final words, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, is a fulfillment of Psalm 31, verse 5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. I just wonder this morning, how many of you just want God to come and help you with forgiveness or with any of the points I made, that you just want God to come today, whether it's lack of finances, that he can become your abundance. Whatever it is you need, if you want God this morning to do something for you, will you stand where you are? And I want to just pray. I just want to pray, Father, that the finished work of the cross can be embraced by your sons and daughters. I really just want to pray that God comes this morning. If you feel a rejection or you feel lonely, let him come this morning and be Papa, be Daddy. My language is Papa. Daddy, Abba Father, let him be all Savior means. Jesus becomes everything we need him to be to us, if he's the source. I know it's a tender moment for you, but I also want you to relax, because these moments are not tense moments. These moments are for freedom and joy. And these moments set us free for the King and the Kingdom, so that we can be effective for his glory and his grace. That we turn around from the past and we move to the cross and we get healed and we get set free, all of that on an ongoing basis, because we pick our cross up daily and then we move on to a place of victory and we live here with joy, with freedom, with happiness, with love, with everything, money, everything. We can live here with that freedom. So Father, I stand here because this is where you bring us. And the finished work, the absolute victory of the cross, brings everything of heaven to earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The greatest apostolic prayer ever to be prayed, where God gives us all of heaven and his kingdom to live with freedom in this life. And not only that, the King himself empowers us to rule and reign in this life. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name this morning that you'll pour out your Spirit upon us. And Holy Spirit, will you help us to take what Jesus did on the cross, and we don't camp at the cross, but we walk on in victory, in surrender, in contentment, in acceptance, in assurance, in salvation and forgiveness, as we display the kingdom of God in this earth as it is in heaven. Father, we cannot do this on our own. If we try on our own, it could become religious. But this morning I ask, Holy Spirit, will you bring freedom to me, Maureen, us, in this room, that we can be carriers of your grace and dispensers of your glory. Holy Father, address you as sovereign. As your people have responded to you, respond to them. Not reacted, but respond, Father. Because in the kingdom there's no place for reactors, but there's place for responders to your grace, your glory, your freedom. Oh, come upon your people, Lord. Blow your breath, Jesus. Blow your breath. And fill people with the Holy Spirit. Then I ask you to come upon us so that we will be transformational agents in the world and many get saved. Thank you, God. Won't you just talk to God on your own, just where you are? Just a minute, a few seconds. If there's a need, tell him. If there's sin, tell him. If you're battling with a character issue, tell him. If you need money, tell him. Tell him actually how much you need and how much you want. You have not because you ask not. If you have relational issues, tell him. He's not going to come out with a hammer. He's going to come out with a love. Some of us are frowning because God's working with us, but let that frown and that stern face turn to smile as the divine exchange takes place. Because God's not going to leave us the way we came in, you know. He is going to change us from glory to glory, becoming like Jesus. I just want to say that also Mike and Mo, or Mike's, and I know they had time last night together, because we were out and God was working, and he said this morning I was like Joab, you know, because we were talking quite sternly yesterday with each other, and God did a mighty work. And I wonder if we can ask in your place of freedom that we as a family come stand around Mark and Mo. He's made a declaration that he wants to follow and walk in the ways of Jesus once again. Not that he was in sin, not that it was bad, but he wants to progress in his walk with Jesus and wants to build what Jesus wants to build. I wonder if you'll come and gather around them as we just want to pray for them. Can we do that? If your heart's knitted, if you're a visitor, you can come stand. If you're a visitor knowing Jesus, you come stand, because we're still family. It's not an abstract family. It's a kingdom of God. So we just want to bless him this morning, because to make a statement, the devil's going to mess with Mark like you can't believe. and we wanna give a protection upon them this morning as a people. So if you're not close by, just reach out your hands to them from afar and from near. Show.
Right.
It's an eldership.
Yes. Yes.
It's
yes.
Together they stand. And Mark's the leader of the eldership. But they're together as a team. Mm-hmm. And the team and the church stands together. Mm-hmm. And the leaders lead the church. And Mark leads the team that leads the church. And so we just want the elders also to stand here. Thank you.
Father, I just want to thank you for this couple, for Mark and Mo. Lord, and I just have such a sense that you're wanting to put a fresh anointing upon them for this new season. It is almost like they've been standing with a mantle that has got threadbare, that has got full of holes, and it's like, I see it as a tired mantle. And the Lord today is taking that mantle off, and he's putting a fresh, new mantle upon this couple to lead this church into its new season. I thank you that it's a mantle of protection, it's a mantle of strength, and it's a mantle of wisdom, as they would rise up and lead these people into the newness of what God is doing. And Father, I thank you that one of the key things as they move forward as a couple is working with team around them. And I thank you for Tim and Jolene that stand with them as elders, as shepherds of this flock, and that together that they set their faces like flint to that which you have called them in Christ Jesus. And it's a good future. It is a prosperous future. It is a future of abundance in every way. It's a future of freedom. And I thank you as you put fresh new anointings on both these couples, they will lead these people into strength and they will lead them into freedom. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I thank you that even as we stand around Mark and Mo and Tim and Jolene, that many others around will be drawn into walking a closer relationship with them and in terms of leadership, Father. Your hand is upon people, and we just want to say today, Father, that even the picture here is nobody is ahead of anybody else, and we all stand together looking to heaven as we grow from glory to glory. There is no one bigger or better than another in the kingdom. We all together are doing the best to fulfill what Jesus has called us to. And this morning again, for all of us, I wonder if we can all just take a second and look up. Let's look up. Because that's where our help comes from. That's where our needs are met from. That's where our love comes from. That's where our relationship comes from. That's where leadership comes from. That's where vision comes from. That it's never Mark's or Tim's vision or the Rock's vision. It's Jesus' vision for the Rock, for Mark and Mo, for Tim and Jolene, for the Rock Church. It's His, and we are just purely ambassadors of what's His on the earth. So we look to heaven today, all of us, and we say, Father, let your joy fill us. Let healing come to Mark and Mo. Let joy fill them. It's hard, it's not hard for Mo, but anyhow, let joy fill them, Lord. Let joy come. In Jesus' name. And then I ask, let the spirit of joy come upon all of us. And I wonder if I can ask. And there's a baby here. Is the baby all right with a bit of noise, Billy? I think we got to give God, like a, maybe close the ear, but let's give God a shout of praise. And as you shout, it says that on unrighteousness we dance and shout. Let's give for the one last time, as Chase came with the word of the Lord this morning, to say, leave the past and let's get on with the future. Let's jump on any unrighteousness in the Rock, in your own personal life, in your business, anywhere. We're going to jump on unrighteousness and we're going to praise our King.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.